Hi, I'm Nate Long, coordinating producer at CSN New England, and thanks for listening to this first ever special crossover edition of Quick Slants, the podcast presented by Puppuccinos and the Celtics Talk podcast. It may seem strange to combine these two podcasts, but I'm actually excited about the combination. You see, Devin McCourty has answered a lot of questions on Quick Slants over the years, and Brian Scalabrine has given countless answers about basketball as an analyst for the Celtics. So we came up with the idea of having Scal, who admits he doesn't know much about football, asking Dev questions from a former NBA player's perspective, and then Dev asking Scal NBA-related questions. As they point out in the podcast, every NFL player thinks he can play in the NBA, so why not? Both players have championships and have played with future Hall of Famers, so what would they ask each other about each other's sport? It turns out both were together as panelists for the Play It Forward Summit at Boston University last week, and when asked about the idea, both guys seemed excited to get a chance to get a perspective from a different sport. So to start things off, we do the Quick Slants portion with Scal interviewing Dev about football.
Devin McCourty here, Quick Slants. A little off-season Quick Slants, but we're here with former NBA player, really known as the White Mamba, Brian Scalabrine here. We're going to dive into some questions that fans usually ask sitting at home on the couch. Brian says he doesn't know much about football, so he's going to ask some questions, see where he's at.
Yeah, I'm lower than most fans that cover and watch your show. So first of all, I'm going to dive right into it. What the heck is the mic on the floor? I hear Brady saying, this guy is the mic, and why is it important?
So the mic is usually the middle linebacker, and it's the guy which the protection is going off of, or the run blocking is going off of. The offensive line needs to know who we're picking as the mic first, so now the center knows I got the mic, or the guard knows, hey, he has the mic, and now I got to get this down guy. And without that, the protection or the run blocking, you can't go, because no one will know who they have to block. And there's times where Tom can make the guy that's not supposed to be, make him the mic. It doesn't matter. Now we can run the play.
Oh, so it's not necessarily they have a mic. It's whoever Tom decides the mic is.
Yes, because it's so funny. We'll be in practice, and the guy in our defense that we consider the mic, Tom will come out there, and let's say I'm playing down close to the line, 32's the mic. And I'm like, I'm not the mic.
Yeah.
But the mic is forever play they're running. That's the mic for that play, so they can get their blocks and their protection right.
Nickel package, what is it? Why?
Nickel package, all that means is usually you got four defensive linemen, three linebackers, four DBs. Nickel package means we take a linebacker off the field and we bring in an extra corner.
But what would be the scenario to use a nickel?
For a passing situation. So the NFL is a lot different. It used to be the nickel would really only come in on third down where the team has to pass, but now the NFL is more 60% pass, only 40% run. So you run nickel really as much as maybe a lot of times for us, we run nickel more than we run what we call a base package of, you know, the three linebackers on the field because there's so much passing. You rather get a better athlete who can cover more ground, cover an extra receiver. You want him on the field so you have better athleticism.
What's the difference between having three linemen and four linemen? Like, is it, as from your position only, is it easier? Is it harder? You got to cover more ground?
One thing I would say is it doesn't really matter whether you're in a 3-4 or 4-3, what we call it, 4-3 being a 4-D lineman, 3-4, 3-D lineman. But when I played corner, we ran a lot of cover too. So in a 3-4 defense, you always have two outside linebackers or DN type of players who are really there to protect the edge. So in cover two, the corner's responsibility in the run is the edge. It's guys that break out. You got to come up and fill. But when you have those outside guys in 3-4, it never gets out there because they destroy a tight end or a lead blocker, and they're usually like two of your best players. We're in a 4-3, those guys are not all aligned outside all the time. Sometimes they're out-leveraged by a tight end. So now if you're a corner, you have to get there to help out because the tight end's going to cut off that defensive end. So really, though, those two defenses, you play to the strength of your players. If you have guys that better fit.
Hold on here. I listen to sports radio. I watch the shows on the Patriots. No one talks about any of this. Now, would you say in the media they know this or they don't know this?
No.
They don't know this.
Most of those guys don't know it. I get on the media all the time. After we beat Denver, they came in and interviewed Logan Ryan, And I told Amita, I said, don't act like you guys expected this. I said, you guys didn't even like Logan Ryan 3 weeks ago. Now you're here talking about how great he is. Most of the men and women, I guess I would say no offense, but I guess it is offensive. They don't really know anything about football.
Yeah, I would say the same thing in basketball. Now, when you're out there, so it's different in basketball. Let's say I drive, I turn it over, they score. It's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. Yes. Don't get me wrong. But you make a mistake, that's 7 points. That's yes. a big deal. So how do you balance aggressiveness with not getting caught too far up and giving up, you know, long pass? Like, how do you know that as a play is unfolding?
I think Bill says it the best. One year he came to me, I want to say it was after my second year of playing safety, and he was like, I want you to take some chances, but I would say this, I want you to be about 95 to 98% right. So I was like, well, that's not really taking a chance if I'm going to be 95 or 98% right. But that's the position, you know, it's knowing when you can take a chance and, you know, when you have to just stay deep and protect the deep part of the field. But it is a gamble. You know, you got to go out there and play a little bit. And like you said, in our sport, turnovers are usually the biggest indication of winning and losing. Bill tells us all the time, if we don't turn the ball over on offense, we have a 98% chance of winning. Oh, defensively, if we win the turnover battle, we have a 90-something percent chance of winning. So, whereas in basketball, you know, it's great if you have like 5 or 7 turnovers in a game.
But you can still lose that game.
Yeah, definitely.
The team shoots the lights out, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. But in football, it's very rare where you'll lose the turnover battle and still win the game. You know, usually something freakishly has to happen, whether you block a punt or someone returns a kick for it. Like something usually like that has to happen to balance back the turnover battle.
Who's the best player all time at your position? And then who's the best defensive player of all time?
My position, safety, I would take Ed Reed. I love the way Ed Reed played. And then any position, Tom Brady.
Defensively?
Like,
is it middle linebacker? Is it a lineman?
I'm a DB, so I got to go with Deion Sanders.
Greatest defensive football player
gotta
of all time.
Got to go with Deion. You can't go wrong. Cornerback's the hardest position to play. I got to go Deion.
So what's the difference between, like, I hear lockdown corner. Like, there was some drama last year. I think the guy from the Redskins.
Josh Norman.
And he's supposed to guard one guy, but they play a system. So is that real or is that not? That's media.
Some media people actually know this. Okay. They understand their schemes that, you know, where in our scheme 2 years ago in 2014 when we had Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner and like Malcolm Butler, Kyle Aarons, we had a lot of guys where we played a lot of man-to-man. So we were able, because we were playing man, to match these guys up. Hey, you're better off against this guy, so I want you to go take this guy no matter where he lines up. You take this guy. But those guys also knew the scheme, and we had enough guys like myself that would be like, all right, they're new this week to this position. I could help them out. Whereas you have some teams where they don't play just man. They play a zone where in this spot you got to play this type of zone coverage. You got to play. So it's not as easy sometimes to translate a guy's skill set and say, all right, I know you're usually outside corner next to the sideline. I want you to go play inside. Oh, yeah, now you got to blitz. Now you got to cover man. Now you got to play zone. So that's why in some systems you can't just say, hey, you're Josh Norman. You're our best defensive back. Yeah. Go cover their best receiver no matter what, because you throw off your whole defense.
From week to week, how different is each offense?
So different.
And really?
We're different than most teams defensively. Most teams defensively will say, this is what we do. They got to beat us at what we do. We come in every week and it's like, well, this is what they do well. We got to do it this way. And that's probably why I've been able to be on the Patriots, because I've been able to be smart enough to help guys out and do that. So that's, I would say, one of my strengths and the reason why Bill still keeps me here is because we change so much week by week. It's hard. You know, it's hard to, you know, like you guys, let's say you play a team with a great point guard. And it's like, all right.
Everyone runs the same stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone runs the same plays in the NBA. It's just the players
are different.
LeBron is harder to guard than, you know, Mike Conley. How it is.
We went into games before, and let's say we're playing the Jets and they got Brandon Marshall. We'll say, you know what? We always play with a deep middle safety. We'll say, you know what? You double Brandon Marshall every play.
Wow.
We make someone else beat us. We know he can go out there and get 15 catches for 200 something yards. Let's see what happens if he only gets 5 catches for 50 yards, if somebody else will beat you.
You ever see a guy who's like incredibly talented on another team, defensive player, that you just say, I mean, this guy is the man, but couldn't play for us? Don't give me names.
Yeah.
And why? Why wouldn't, like, in basketball, you got crazy talent, besides DeMarcus Cousins, who can't help anybody win, but, like, you have crazy talent, it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Can you be crazy talent defensively and it just not work out?
I think in some situations, but I think a lot of times, no. I think if you're crazy talented, they can find a... Okay. But I think if you get a guy who's crazy talented, but he's so fixated on, I do what I do,
yeah.
No matter what you say... Basketball is so much different. It's five guys. One guy can usually take over a game.
Yeah.
Football, you got 11 guys on the field. It's hard for one guy to take over. I mean, we have Tom Brady. If he throws to guys that are wide open and they drop every ball, there's not much. He's not a good enough athlete to go run around guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we all seen him run before. Yeah. That won't get you far. So, you know, I think with 11 guys on the field, you have to have guys that are willing to buy into the system if you want to win. I mean, you can plug guys in anywhere. You see it throughout the league. You know, guys will sign these huge deals every free agency, every March, and then you'll look at the team and they'll still won't make the playoffs. It's like, why are you paying it? But that's what happens because sometimes guys don't fit the schemes and the scheme's not willing to change or a guy's not willing to change. So you just have a team with a lot of really good players but not a lot of wins.
What's it like? So I hear this is a huge deal. So, and you can kind of explain it and tell me what it's like, the non-guaranteed contracts. Like in basketball, I mean, typically, you sign for 100, that's 100, right? You sign for 150, that's 150. How different is it knowing that you don't have a guaranteed contract?
It's a lot different. I mean, if you sat in a locker room where we come in and we see, did you see in the NBA so-and-so just signed for, man, he don't play, he comes off the bench. And we're sitting there scratching the claw for everything.
Me too. Like, how is that guy? I don't know how I got paid when I got paid. I barely played.
And it's funny, like my brother plays for the Titans, 1 year left on his deal, and he gets cut.
So I don't understand that. They owe him money or they don't owe him money?
They don't, because in the NFL, usually all your guaranteed money comes out within the first 3 years, usually. And we say guarantee, but even the guarantee part of NFL contracts are not always guaranteed because it could be guaranteed by the fifth day of the league.
Do you know how much money you're making next year, yes or no?
Yes, yes.
There's a guarantee amount of money coming to you next year, yes or no?
As of right now, yes, because this is the third year of my contract. Next year, there will be no more guarantees. So,
but you're still be under contract.
Yes, so after next year, they could say, you know what, you're due to make this. You know what, we don't want to pay you. Was the 2 years left? Bye. That's it.
What's the franchise tag?
Franchise tag
that's
just
good
means
or bad?
It matters how you see it. So we play a sport where it's 100% injury rate.
Of course.
So franchise tag means you're an unrestricted free agent, but we decided before the deadline we're going to tag you. That means we have your rights. You can't sign anywhere else. All you can do is sign this one-year tender with us, or you can work out a long-term deal. So the franchise tag means you'll play on this tag like the cornerback this year. You'll play on this tag $16 million in 1 year. Great amount of money for a corner. Make you the highest paid for that
year. How do they determine that amount?
I think it's the top five average
It's so for some guys, it could be good.
Oh, it's great, but it's for 1 year. So let's say you play and you tear your ACL.
Yeah.
That's probably it. You know, now you're unrestricted with a torn ACL.
Okay, so you don't get hurt the following year. Can you?
So the guy on the Rams, Tremaine Johnson, last year was franchise tag and then got franchise tag again this year. So last year, I think it was 14-something. This year is 16, so it's working out great for him. Kirk Cousins in Washington keeps getting franchise tag. He's making $20+ million a year on the tag. So would he like some long-term security? Yes, but he keeps rolling the dice, making $20-something million, and you know you can't beat it. But it's tougher because we much rather sign for $150 million years and relax and it be guaranteed. We all love that, but you know the NFL, you have to try to maneuver and the language is so big in our contract.
So forget the media, like give me the real answer. When a dude holds out, are you mad or not mad?
I'm all for it. You know, if a guy holds out because it's the right situation, because
but it affects your team.
It does. Okay. It definitely does. My rookie year when I got there, Logan Mankins held out. By far our best offensive lineman, leader, was a captain that year, held out. When he came back, it was like he never left. The offensive line got meaner because he was one of the meanest guys.
Yeah.
They got meaner. They got better. And no one said, Logan, where you been? Right? Everyone was happy he was back because guys understand you can be a guy that they say you're going to make a $50 million contract, and then the next day you get hurt, and that's it.
So everyone respects
you. You go to a guy that's going to make $3 million for a one-year contract.
All right, so you got a twin brother.
Yeah.
All right. So I asked you this earlier. I really want to explain this. So When was it like you wanted to beat your brother, you wanted to beat your brother, now you want the best for your brother? Was it like that from day one, or did it change somewhere along the road?
I would say one-on-one with us, video games, one-on-one basketball growing up, we hated each other. We're trying to beat each other. Most one-on-one games and video games ended in fights, fist fights.
What about now?
And then, you know, now any team sport, we just root for each other.
No, we want
the best.
Right now, you guys play video games. It's on?
Yeah, well, I win.
Is it on? Are you talking trash?
We're talking trash, no, but we're not going to fight, though. We're a little too old for that. We got kids and stuff. We can't have the kids saying, stop, daddy.
But kids are breaking it up.
Exactly. It's still competitive, but it's not the same where it all ended in fights. And I would say probably like high school and then college where, you know, we just root for each other hard. I mean, it's nerve-wracking. I hate but love watching his games, but it's like I just want him to do well. So it's cool. Hopefully we get to play together.
You're both on the defensive side of the ball. What happens when one messes up? When you're at Rutgers, someone messes up.
Usually the first one to say something to each other.
Yeah.
Because we always understand, and sometimes we'll go at each other. I mean, high school basketball, our coach would call timeout because like something went wrong, and he would go to talk, and he couldn't talk because we're in there like, well, you did this. Like there was one game where he slammed the whiteboard and was like, well, both of you shut up. Because like that's once we get going, it's hard to stop. I mean, off-season workouts, guys have to break us up because one thinks the other one's feeling himself a little too much. Yeah. So you feel like you got to check them. So it's a great relationship.
When you guys are on the Patriots, right, everyone thinks this is like this big locomotive just goes through, nothing affects them. But is there healthy confrontation?
I mean, training camp, there's no love lost between offense and defense. At one point, a couple years ago, we were fighting every other day. Yeah. Only reason the fighting stopped is because Bill told us if we fought again, we would run the whole practice. So you should have saw, like, all the older guys was like, hey, Vince Wilfork was here. He said, hey, I won't use the language you use. He said, hey, anybody else fight going to deal with me after practice.
So that stopped, run the lines.
That stopped the fighting right there because nobody wants to run for 2 hours.
Mad trash talking to the offense?
Yeah, I mean, we have guys, like when Brandon Spikes was here, every offensive lineman hated him. Yeah. We got our guy we call Dynamo 2.0, Elandon Roberts, hits everything in practice. I mean, we could be doing like a 50% defense on defense drill. Like, we're all working individually, offense on their field, and the defensive lineman is giving us a look at guard, and he runs downhill and just kills the defensive lineman. And, you know, that's what it is, though. You know, you just go hard at each other like that.
Healthy confrontation is one of the most underrated aspects of sports. You guys think it's a problem. That's how you win. We had the craziest team with Pierce and Garnett.
Yeah, how was that?
Oh, intense off the chart. Every day, like I'm telling you, we'd be waiting around 30 seconds. Break out a dice game. Let's go. You know what I mean, like, there was no moment in there where people weren't gambling or scrapping or talking smack to each other. It never stopped. And we won a championship. You guys won plenty of championships. That's it for Quick Slants.
Yeah, Quick Slants. I mean, we got to have you back. That was great. Now with the knowledge you had, you go get any football job you want.
I still don't understand what you're talking about.
You can ride. You can just ride a little bit. Just say one thing that's right, and you'll be good. Every fan will be like, we want to hear the white mamba speak.
You know what you got to do? You got to hit me on the text. Like, yo, talk about just the 4-3. Talk about the nickel back. The nickel wasn't good today. All right, I just say that nickel wasn't good today.
You mention complex words, people will be hooked in. Like, I've never heard that before.
All right.
So that ends the football side of things with the Quick Slants podcast, but now it's Dev's turn to ask basketball questions to Scal as we continue with the Celtics talk portion of the podcast.
All right. So you're going to ask me a few questions about basketball.
You know, I play high school basketball, so I feel like I know what
But you still play.
Yeah. So I go to the game, and I'm thinking I'm a coach on the sideline, but trying to get the insides of really what it's like.
And every NFL player thinks they can play in the NBA.
This is the truth. So the year you guys won the championship, people always ask us, what was the turning point? When did you know? You guys knew you had a great team. Obviously, guys coming in from different places. Guys that are already Hall of Fame players, probably. But when did you guys know, like, hey, we could really win this. We're not just a bunch of guys coming, but we're actually a team.
It took 4 weeks. It took 2 weeks before the season started when everyone comes together and you start, you know, doing the pickup games. Mm-hmm. And Pierce is, he's a cold-blooded dude, man. He goes, all right, we're going to go Ray, me, KG, Rondo, and Perk. And normally in the preseason, you split up the dudes, right? They went starting five right off the jump. But then you have guys like Big Baby, Posey, Tony Allen, Eddie House, you know, like me. Like, you have guys that are really competitive that want, I mean, so, at the very beginning, you know how it is, the starters, they're going to bring it. Mm-hmm. As the season goes along, the bench players start to win because we're not playing 40 minutes. But we knew right from the jump, first 2 weeks were so intense. So mm-hmm. most intense preseason basketball I've ever been a part of. And then we went to Rome and training camp. It took like an hour for us to score. The defense was that good. Really? That team was probably one of the greatest defensive teams ever assembled. Everyone will always talk about offense, but defensively we were off the charts. And I think right from the jump, we knew once we got together because of highly competitive people who are also intelligent and really mm-hmm. good players.
So one of the cool things I think is you guys play a ton of games. So yeah. you have time to gel, you have time to adversity, get on. But how is that? You know, for us, it's 1 week, we play one game, the coaches are killing us throughout the week.
Yeah.
For you guys, it's so much travel, it's so many. How is that to, I guess, get up for games, or how do you? How does the mentality change throughout an 82-game season?
We talked about this earlier. Yeah. Like, you make a mistake, you lose the game, mm-hmm. right? Like, in basketball, I can come in, make a mistake, and we should still win by 20, yeah. right? It's not that big of a deal. You turn the ball over and they go and score versus, like, giving up a pick six or mm-hmm. something like that. But, you know, you keep it more even keel. I would say during our playoff run is your regular season, yeah. right? During your playoff run is our, like, NBA Finals and Eastern mm-hmm. Conference Finals. So the intensity rises up. But, you know, it's a long season. You got to figure out how to manage and get through that. And guys got to figure out how to, you know, win games without expending total 100% energy. Why LeBron is so great. LeBron can coast at 60% and be really better than everybody else, yeah. right? That's why being 6'9", 260, mm-hmm. you can do all these things. So you manage the regular season, and then you bump up as you go. But I'm sure with you guys, like, game one of the playoffs has got to be higher than your last game, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say for us, it's always a sense of urgency. It's, you know, watching as much film as possible yeah. now. It's spending extra because for us, it's, if you don't win that one game, that's it. You know, you're done for the yeah. year.
But more film than a regular season game?
I think so. I think because now you have a whole season's worth. It's gotcha. Like, well, let's why not watch every game?
Do you ever have guys that just, like so, like, in the NBA, sometimes you don't have it. 4 games in 5 nights. You Is there anybody in the NFL weekend when do you not have it?
I felt like that 2014 we went to Kansas City. We felt like we had a good practice week. We felt good going into the game. I think it was like 34 or 40 something to 14.
Yeah.
And like after the game you're like, it just wasn't our night.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we couldn't do anything right. We fought hard. Coach Bill said, he's like, watching the film, guys are playing hard. We just didn't have it.
Yeah.
And I think it happens more in the NBA because there's more games. So
Maybe it happens the same amount.
But because of the, that's true. Who was the best coach? You know, I think, like we talked about 82 games and managing and doing all. Who was the best coach, and what does it take to be a great coach in the NBA? You're managing, you know, grown men. They make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, you have to worry about their bodies, travel. What does it take, and who was the best coach?
So I can only go with the combination, right? We had Doc Rivers, who totally understands all that. Rest, how important, when to push guys, when to pull back. Then we also had Tom Thibodeau, who's the head coach of Minnesota, mm-hmm. who's a lot, like his boys with Belichick, right? And he's like pushing, driving every minute of the day. I played for Thibodeau in Chicago. He was a hard-pushing guy. Doc had that good balance. And the yin-yang of those two guys, that's like perfect. One day you wake up, you hate Tibbs. The next day it's like, oh man, Doc's on our ass today. You know, like it's like those kind of things make a big difference. And I think that combination you can never replace. And it also, and I don't know if it's like this in the NFL, and it doesn't seem like, because Belichick wins every year, it seems like, but the right coach and the right player, it has to mesh, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, you got to have the right personality. They have to line up. If they don't line up, I think it's hard to win a championship. You can be good, mm-hmm. but to win it all, I think it all has to line up.
Yeah, and I think for us, it's more coach and quarterback, because I think you got to have the right coach and quarterback to win the whole thing. So I guess another question would be, who was the best player that you've ever played against, and who was the best teammate you ever had?
So the best teammate, like, so Jason Kidd, because of his position, he made my life, he can make you an NBA player, I promise you that. Like, he made me so much better than I really was. So and he's like my boy, so it's hard for me to pick him. But as far as like that aura, that leadership, the guy who walks in the room and everything changed, that's Garnett. Garnett, in the locker room, he walks in and it's like, you know, it's the intensity, you can cut it with a knife. The weight room, he's all business in practice. He's not like this, it's 82, it's like whatever, 100 practices, he's intense every moment. But he's also off the on the bus, he's relaxed. On the plane, he's chill. But when it comes to working his business, I've never met anybody so hyper-focused as Garnett.
So we talked about a little off-camera coaching. I think a lot of people, you know, they sit at home and they say, I would love to be an NBA coach. I would love to get into assistant coach, anything a part of the team. You did it for a year. We were talking about the different struggles and things. Yeah. What would you say to someone who said they want to get into coaching, whether it's a former player or someone who hasn't played? What would you say, I guess, the pros and cons of coaching?
Like, if you don't like your family, go ahead and coach. I mean, I'm just keeping it real. I was like, I'm all about my kids right now. And that's why I do this job. Like, it's a perfect job for me to dive in, but I get family time with my kids. If, as a coach, I was a terrible coach because I'm trying to be a good dad, and I was a terrible dad because I'm trying to be a good coach. I was bad at both of them. So I would not, if you have young kids, I just wouldn't suggest getting into it. But with that being said, I have options, right? Mm-hmm. I can go and do this line of work. Not everyone has options. Some people just got to do what they got to do, and I respect that from them. And you know, there's a lot of people out there that drive into the city every day and bust their hump to work hard. They have to do to provide. For me, when I have this option, like, wait a minute, I can go talk about basketball, go on the radio here, do this interview right here, and then get my free time, do whatever I want, I'm picking that every day.
Yeah, it makes sense. One other question I had.
Well, let's go into this. Like, you're doing this. You want to do this?
I think so. You know, I have fun with it right now.
No, you can't think. You got to know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know until I'm done. Like, I think even a guy who thinks he wants to coach because he sees the coach, but you don't know until you get. So I don't know. Like, I do this now, but I also get to still do football. So it's fun. Like, I don't know if I want to do this full time. You know, after I'm definitely going to give it a shot. You know, been doing it now. So
here's a little bit of a difference, though. Like, I didn't play that much. I sat on the sideline. I did features. I did, like, a lot of this stuff. Like, you are in it, right? Mm-hmm. You're the captain. You got the green dot on your helmet, right? So everything that's happening is going through you. So I don't understand how you break from that and say, like, all right. Like, your knowledge, when you spit to me, like, to me, the people are going to be like, I don't know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. But you, and from a coaching standpoint, that's going to be right up your alley.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard to get rid of.
Yeah. See, I think I could coach at a lower level, high school or something, try to get. But like you said, I couldn't go from playing football and missing, you know, the true Christmas time you know, go into coaching after playing and still miss it for another 20 years. I just don't think I could do that.
Yeah, I do think it's a good balance. Like,
you
jump
have to
into
try
this.
To find it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting if you know what you're getting into. But I'm just saying, look at the pedigree, right? You're like the captain of the defense, and you're under the Patriots. It's like there's no way it doesn't
there's
work
out.
There's
job opportunities out
like,
there.
It's like, I mean, you can stop right now and be like an assistant coach in the NFL.
Or I could get a TV job and tell all the Patriots secrets. I got to find which
big
one's
money
best.
For that. Big money for that.
I guess last basketball question. You know, we talked about, you know, football, the mics and 3-4. Basketball, I think a lot of people watch and they think it's just like guys running up and down the court. Yeah. The best player goes one-on-one. What would you say how basketball works? You know, whether it's play, you know, we watch college and people feel like when we watch college, we see plays. When we watch the NBA, we just see a screen here and there.
Yeah.
What was the differences between college and NBA basketball as far as, you know, the flow and how it works? Like, what are those?
So in the NBA, you're really trying to do one thing. It's very simple concept. And there's a million ways to get into this concept. And I'm going to ask you the reciprocal question for football. But you're looking to get two on the ball. So that could be posting Shaq back in the day. You can't guard Shaq one-on-one. Mm-hmm. You have to put two on the ball. And then you're playing on the weak side. You're playing 3-on-2 on the weak side, 2-on-1 on the weak side. Mm-hmm. So that's all you're doing. Nowadays, because of no hand-checking rules, it's pick and roll. So you run screens, you get two on the ball, because you have to put two, or Isaiah's going to come down and jack a three in your face, right? You put two in the ball and you play off of it. Two on the ball, throw back, 3-on-2 on the weak side, 2-on-1 on the weak side. So there has to be something similar. And there's like I said, there's a million different formations to get into that, but that is the issue. So in football, is it I'm trying to get single coverage on the weak side? Is it I'm trying to get that safety to bite up so I can go long? There has to be like a common thread of what an offense is trying to do. What is that thread? How do you beat a defense?
And I would say that's the same thing like you just said. Football is how can we get it so the box only has seven and not an extra defender and we can run the ball.
Yeah.
Okay, now they have eight in the box. They have an extra defender for the run. All right, where is it? Where's our best one-on-one matchup? Where is the safety helping to? Can we look the safety off to one way and take advantage of the one-on-one matchup? And I think defensively is how can we make them think it's seven in the box and they can run and we sneak eight in the box?
Ah.
And how can we make it look like it's eight in the box so they pass and then we get out and now we have a lot of guys in coverage? So same thing, and like you just said, it's a bunch of different ways to get there. It's different defenses, it's disguising, it's maybe having a bunch of players stand up. We're seeing where guys, where no one puts a hand on the ground, they all stand up, you don't know who's coming. So it's the same thing as far as, it's a simple way to explain it, but a bunch of different confusing ways to get to it.
And we talk about coaching, right? I'm like, I'm watching film for 60 hours a week. I'm working all the time to basically get two on the ball and two on one of the weak side. You're coaches, you're watching all that film to basically get seven guys or eight guys in the box,
and
right?
It's crazy. And the best coaches, they say, watch the most film and get the most time. Yeah. And it's still all that simple at the end of the day.
Thanks for listening to the special crossover edition of Quick Slants, the podcast presented by Papagino's and the Celtics Talk podcast. I've done a lot of shows with both Scal and Dev, and these guys are two of the best, that's for sure. You can subscribe to both podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other podcasting app.